Our God is with you.
And also with you.
This is a story that's taken from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that God, who is our parent, gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. Because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what God gave me, but I should raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of Almighty God, my parent, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. I've come to believe that All Saints and All Souls Day is a challenge to take a look at who we are, what we are, who we are not, and what we are not. You know, it's interesting how we think that theology and beliefs stay the same, but they have changed over the centuries. They have. Because we are living beings and we grow in what our understanding is and our relationship to God. All Hallowed Eve used to be Halloween, and at a time it was taken as a pagan thing into a Christian thing. And now when you go around to see all those blow-up ghosties, it takes a whole different look. And it's a different way of looking at it. And what I'd like to do is call us back a little bit to see what it means to be communion of saints. The ecumenical body of Jesus. To come to understand that that divine reality is in each one of us. It's inherent in our world and all around us. Now, please excuse the pronouns, but I'm going to read something from Thomas Merton that he wrote a while back that they weren't as concerned. But Thomas Merton said, "God seeks himself in us, and in the aridity of sorrow in our hearts is sorrow of God, who is not known to us. We cannot find himself in us because we dare not believe or trust the incredible truth that God could live in us. And to live there is a choice that God makes, a preference. But indeed, we solely exist for this, to be a place for God's presence to be, and to acknowledge that presence. That we can be a manifestation to the world, God's epiphany." But you know, Merton goes on to say, "But we make all this dark and inglorious because we fail to believe it. We refuse to believe it. And it's not that we hate God, but rather in some ways we hate ourselves. We despair in ourselves. If once we began to recognize humbly, but truly, the real value of our own self, we would see that this value is a sign of God in our being and a signature upon our being." Boy, take that in. Isn't that powerful? Of who we are and what we are. I'm going to tell you a story about me when I was in high school. There was a priest at Elder High School. I was there between 1965 and 69. Everybody called him Father B. His name was Father Al Bischoff. He taught us something that really I never really understood back then, but over the years have come to understand, and it's the way he talked to us. What he would say when he greeted us is, "Hey, Saint, how you doing?" see a booth of a bunch of them at a table. He says, "How you saints doing?" And I understand that after he became a Jesuit and left the diocese, but became a Jesuit and went to Xavier University, he said that to everybody at Xavier University too. He had an understanding of something that I didn't understand. That I was a saint. That you all are saints. Doesn't mean we're perfect. Matter of fact, I got to know him better because I played on the football team in those years. And he would always gather us together to pray. And he said, "Saints, I want you all to listen to this. We're not praying to win. We're praying so that you can be the best part of who you are. And as that, we become a team. And winning may come with that. But what's important is you understand that we're praying for you to be the best part of who you are." And he would pray that before the game. He'd pray that way after the game. He was teaching us something really important about ourselves. About how sometimes we don't look at ourselves as saints and then wonder why we're not acting saintly. Because it's the way that, sometimes the way we've been taught. Thomas Merton in another place says, "The deepest level of communication is not communication, but it's communion. It is wordless, it is beyond words, it is beyond speech. In some ways, it's beyond concept. Not that we discover a new unity, but we discover an older unity." He says, "My dear people, we are already one, but we imagine that we're not. And what we've had to recover is our original unity, what we have and what we are." Isn't that interesting? That we begin to taught ourselves that we're not one. And yet, going back to the communion of saints, going back to what Jesus was talking about, is that we are one. And what does that mean? Well, I think it means that we follow the example of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? So what does it mean to follow the example of Jesus? Look at the Beatitudes. He didn't teach the Ten Commandments. He taught the Beatitudes. He said there's what's the greatest law? Love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do that, you got it all done. That's a challenge for us. But first, I got to see that I'm a saint. And I have the capacity to love as Jesus taught us to love. But I have to believe it myself and take care of myself and love myself so that I can be love others. And that doesn't mean that I'm perfect or you're perfect. It means that when we stumble, we can get back up. If I missed a tackle, then I can get make a play the next play. That's what it is in our everyday life that we're looking at. Can you hear what Jesus was saying in the book of Matthew? They were all asking, "When's the Messiah going to come? When's Elijah going to reappear?" And you hear it today. "When's Jesus going to come back?" And Jesus says, "I tell you, Elijah's already come. You did not recognize him, but you did to him whatever you please. And so also the Son of Man's going to suffer too." Saints, in those presence, and the presence of God is right in front of us. And that's all we need to know, but we need to place it in action first, seeing it here. Remember what Jesus said? They said, "Well, we never saw you that way." And Jesus said, "Yeah, well, when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me." Y'all have done that, haven't you? You've reached out to those who were in those places. You've met Jesus and what he was about and what he calls each one of us to be. Do you see Jesus' presence in yourself? Sometimes that's not easy, but that's what we're called to do, and that's what this example of the communion of saints is about. So let me take a minute If we're going to follow Jesus, we got to know who we are and what we're not. Let's take a look at what maybe we're not. We're not some power people, as maybe the Christian nationalists are. Jesus said, the kingdom is on this earth. The kingdom is not for violence. When we speak violently, we're not about the kingdom. When we talk about looking at power, and Jesus wants us to understand that it's not the love of power that's going to bring the kingdom. It's the power of love that's going to bring the kingdom. Do we do that? We're not meant to seek that everybody believes the way I believe. That's the stronger power, to accept people, because those who believe differently than I do, they got something to teach me. Am I open to learning that? The communion of saints is following as Jesus did. For those who don't follow Jesus, let's take a look at what Jesus did with that. They called that the communion of saints. So what about our Muslim friends? They follow the prophet Muhammad, blessed be his name. We follow a prophet too. His name is Jesus. We have the same father of faith, Abraham, as those who are Muslim. Oh, isn't that who the Jews do too? But Jesus wasn't a Christian, he was a Jew. How do we not love each other across and accept each other's differences in the way we believe? Because my mind isn't big enough to take in the awesomeness of God around me. And I need those differences. We need that diversity. Getting rid of diversity, inclusion, and equity, getting rid of that is not what Jesus was about. How many people watched a football game in the World Series? Really liked that, didn't you? Let's put into place that whole thing of equity and diversity and inclusion. We'll have everybody who's a pitcher. Doesn't work. Have everybody who's a quarterback. It doesn't work. Let's have everybody as a tackle. It doesn't work. We need the gifts varying from everybody. We need that diversity. And accepting that diversity is part of what the communion of saints is about, and what we're called to live every day. Today, we had a wonderful example. And this was not how I had planned this. We were going to have a piece of music play. But then the Spirit led us in a different direction, where everybody got up and told their story. And wasn't it wonderful, the varied and wonderful different stories that people had to tell? And all the stories that weren't told that are called to mind in us. That's what this whole thing is about. Father B, when he said, "Hey saints, how you doing?" Maybe it's because he knew better than I maybe I'll ever know, that we are united with all those saints who have gone before us. We're united already with all the saints who live with us now. And just as we stand on the shoulders of the saints in the past, they stand on our shoulders. And so we pray for the saints who are yet to be, the little ones who are maybe grandkids or grandcousins or grandchildren, or adopt, you know, the chosen family. Those are what that is. And that's what we want to teach those little ones, and say to those little ones, "Hey, how you doing, saint?" And let them grow up understanding and seeing the wonderful power of love that they can have. Know this. Know who you are. You are saints. Remember who was in the past and the saints who lived in our lives. Remember those who are in the present. Remember who you are. Because that's the way we bring about the kingdom of God. I'd be open for any comments.